Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
So when you say, I've never murdered anybody, yeah, only on the streets of Tucson when you're driving around, you get angry with somebody and you murdered them in your mind, right? So Jesus is saying, you can't be perfect by the law. You can only be perfect by grace. The only means by which we can reach perfection is not by any works.
If you have young children, you probably find yourself giving them a list of do's and don'ts, and probably doing that several times a day. No matter how many times we remind them to live by that list, they're never going to keep it perfectly. Just like we can never keep God's law because we are sinners, and we will never be perfect. But Jesus made another way for us to be perfect. By receiving Him and having our sins forgiven, we can be perfect by the blood of Jesus. With more out of Galatians chapter 2, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Paul was a very easy guy to attack. Paul was incredibly bright, but he was not physically intimidating. The description of Paul that we have is that he was short, bow-legged, that his eyes were bulging and watery, and that his presentations were weak. I think as they looked at Paul, they would see him standing there and he'd give his presentation of the gospel and they'd think, shh, this guy. But what they didn't know is that there was the power of God that was behind him. They didn't know that God had put his hand upon Paul's life, and they thought, we can take this guy, we can remove him, we can run over him. And that was the last thing they could do with Paul, because even though Paul was not physically intimidating and did not present himself in a really strong way, when Paul got backed into a corner, he fought like no other. Certainly was the case here. They had given him the right hand of fellowship, and they sent him off to go and preach to the Gentiles. They desired only that we should remember the poor. He says, they didn't tell me they had to be circumcised. They didn't tell me they had to become Jewish. They didn't tell me that they had to eat kosher food. They simply said, remember the poor. Paul says this, the very thing of which I was eager to do. He said, they didn't add nothing to me. They didn't say, now go and remember the poor. Paul says, well, no duh, is really what Paul is saying. I was ready to, of course we're going to remember the poor. The very thing that I was eager to do, he said. And then verse 11, now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to blame. Now Peter muddied the waters. If anybody shouldn't have muddied the waters, it was Peter. But Peter muddied the waters. When Peter had the sheet come down from heaven, remember in Acts chapter 10, God said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And it was full of all kinds of unclean food. Peter said, no, Lord, no unclean thing has ever touched my lips. God said, don't call unclean what I have called clean. Peter, rise, kill and eat. He did that three times to Peter because Peter was prone to hang on to his tradition. He's a good Jewish boy. But when he had gone out to Antioch, saw the Gentiles that had been saved, he sat down and he ate with them, which was a violation of the kosher food laws by the Jews. So he sat down and he ate with them. We take it that he ate whatever they were having, whether it was pork chops or ham or whatever. Peter had freedom in Christ. And he sat down and he ate with them. He had realized that God had showed him that you can't call clean what was unclean. But Peter still had some struggles. And so verse 12, for before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. When certain men came from James was the half-brother of Jesus and had become the elder or the pastor of the church of Jerusalem. When James sent men to go to Antioch, here come these very Jewish men, wearing all of their Jewish garb and acting very Jewish. When Peter saw them, Peter withdrew from the Gentiles. Peter walked out and looked at the table he normally sat at, and he looked at the Jews, separating themselves, their little table, their little clique. And he looked back over at the Gentiles, and he walked over and he sat down with the Jews. This sent a mixed message. I said it muddied the water. All of a sudden now, why is Peter over there, away from us, when he's been sitting here all the rest of the time? Now, when a leader compromises in an area, he leads others into compromise. That's why with leadership, the Bible says, let not many desire to be teachers, for they incur a stricter judgment. I don't think the bar is higher for leaders. I just think the leader's got to go over the bar. I think the bar is the same for everybody. Someone said, well, the bar for teachers or leaders or pastors is up here. The bar for everybody else is down here. I don't really find that in the Bible. I find that God says, this is the bar we got to go over. It's just if you're going to be a leader in the church, you're going to be a teacher, make it over the bar. You got to get over the bar. And so Peter hadn't been doing that. And so he says, and the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him. Whoever else had come with Peter and were eating with the Gentiles, they looked out and they saw Peter walk back over to where the Jews were, and they went and walked over and sat down. So that even Barnabas, Paul's, I think, at this point, closest friend, even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. There had been no one who had been as encouraging to the Gentiles as Barnabas. And even Barnabas went over and withdrew himself from the Gentiles. Now, this is a great scene. But when I saw that, they were not straightforward. He said, when I saw that they're playing games, Paul wasn't the kind of guy to walk out and go, look at this, they're sitting over there apart. They've separated themselves from the Gentiles. Paul said, when I saw they separated themselves about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, what a scene. You got Peter, right? Big Peter walked with Jesus, was given the keys to the kingdom. You got little Paul. Paul says, I screamed at him right there. I like commentators as they write on this because they try to give Paul, of course, Paul didn't yell at him. Paul just raised his voice. How do you know what Paul did or how he felt? He saw this hypocrisy, and it would have been completely appropriate for Paul to walk over there and yell at Peter. He withstood him to his face in front of everybody. So it says, again, verse 14, but when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth and the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of the Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? Right in front of everybody. He says to Peter, when these guys were here, you were over here eating with us. You weren't eating kosher food. And now when they come, you go over here and you pretend. And you could just see Peter getting embarrassed. But what's Peter going to say? His hand is in the cookie jar, as it were. All the Gentiles know that he's been eating with them. They could all stand up and go, yeah, I saw him eat the shrimp. I saw him eat the pork chop. I can verify that. And so now there he is with these men that have come from Jerusalem that are believing that all these Gentiles have to become Jews. And so they change their behavior because of those men. And Paul is so upset that he's willing to speak to Peter in such a way. Peter, in such a way. He goes on to say to him, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Now that is worth underlining. It is worth highlighting. Verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. That is it. Faith is believing, and believing is faith. When you say, I have faith in God, you are saying, I believe in God. When the Bible says we are saved by grace through faith, we're saved by grace through believing. We trust Him. We believe in Him. We are saved by faith. It's the channel by which we come to Him. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. He says, even we, Peter, even we have been justified by faith, not by the law. Peter walked with Jesus. Paul was one of the Sanhedrin. Paul was one of the leaders in Israel, in Jerusalem. And he said, not even we have been justified by the law, but by faith. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. What a great statement. Do you know there are those Jews today who are Christians who do believe exactly like these Judaizers? They believe that you've got to keep the law in order to really be saved. The descendants of these guys, quite literally, are still among us. But what a direct statement against that. It is only by faith, and no one will be justified by the law, because the law can't justify you. When I was a new Christian, I'm reading through the book of Matthew. I get to the Sermon on the Mount, and I get to the section that says, "Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." Now, I read that as, well, then I need to be perfect. I need to get rid of all sin, and I need to be perfect. When Jesus says, "Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect," and then he goes on to say, "Because if you look at a woman and lust after her, then you committed adultery. If you are angry with your brother, then you've murdered him." So when you say, "I've never murdered anybody," yeah, only on the streets of Tucson when you're driving around. You get angry with somebody and you murdered them in your mind, right? So Jesus is saying, you can't be perfect by the law. You can only be perfect by grace. The only means by which we can reach perfection is not by any works. It's not by me removing sin from my life. Certainly I'm being sanctified by him, by his grace and by his works. He's working sin out of my life, but I've been saved by grace, which means that at the moment that I said, "Lord, will you forgive my sins?" before it was even done, he said, "Yes." And all of my sins were taken away, and I was before him perfect. Paul said to the Philippians, "That I might be seen in him without sin," not by the works of the law, not justified by the law, but justified by faith. So that the way that you are perfect is not by keeping the law, but the way that you are perfect is by receiving him and having all your sins forgiven and taken away from you. So that I fulfill what Jesus said when he said, "Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." Now, don't ask my wife if I'm perfect. Don't ask my kids if I'm perfect, because they'll have a different story. But when you go to God, God's going to say, "He's perfected by my son's blood. He's perfected by faith, not by works." All the law could do is show you that you are a sinner. There are those who don't know Jesus. There are those who have never been exposed to the gospel. There are those in our city who believe that they don't have any sin in their lives. They believe that what they do is okay. They have justified what they do. They believe that they're all right. I wouldn't know that I had sin unless the law had said, "Thou shalt not murder. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not commit adultery." The law then becomes a mirror. I love what J. Vernon McGee used to say. The mirror reveals to you that you need help, but the mirror can't help you. You wake up in the morning, you look in the mirror, and as you get older, it doesn't look any better. But the mirror stops there. You don't take the mirror off the wall and comb your hair. You don't scrub your face with the mirror. You don't wash your hands with the mirror. You got a sink. You got a shower. You have makeup. Then there's the girls. And all they have, right? So you got all kinds of things to help you, but the mirror doesn't do that. The law is a mirror. No man's justified by that mirror. We're justified by faith in Christ. All the mirror did was show you. It showed you your lack. It showed you what you needed. Verse 17, he says, "But if while we, seeking to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." He says to Peter, he's still calling Peter out. He says to Peter, "If I return to those things, I make myself a transgressor." What he's saying to Peter is very clear. You think you're going to be able to return to Judaism and that you're going to get into heaven by being a Jew and not by faith in Jesus? You will be found sinful. It is by faith and faith alone. And if I build again the things which I destroyed, he says, I make myself a transgressor. I make myself a sinner because the law can't save you, because no flesh is justified by the law. And Paul, in essence, is saying to him, right in front of all the Gentiles in Antioch, I'll never return to it. I will not return to that which couldn't save me in the first place. I won't go back to those things. Verse 19, for I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. And again, saying to Peter, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. One of the greatest statements in all of the Bible. I have been crucified with Christ. Paul says, my life has been laid aside, and I have actually died with him. Those of us that have come to him and been born again, we have died in Christ. We have been crucified to him. And now the life that we live for Christ. That's the statement that Paul is making. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And I did not set aside. I do not set aside the grace of God. Now again, saying to Peter, if you go by going back to the law, you are setting aside God's grace to pick the law up again. How pathetic. Paul deals with the same issue in Hebrews chapter 6, where he says that if we return to those things, once we have tasted and come to him, there no longer remains remission of sin. The verses are so confusing to so many, but putting them back in their context, you understand that Paul is saying you can't return to how you thought you were okay before. You've got to stay with Christ. You've got to continue to walk with him. He says, the life I live is for the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And then very clearly, here it is again to underline, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Now you understand that the Judaizers would never have said, Christ died in vain. They said, Jesus and his blood and his work on the cross, plus being circumcised and becoming Jewish, equals salvation. They would have never said that they were making Jesus' death vain. But it was a reality. If you could be saved by the law, you didn't need Jesus. If you could be saved by keeping the Sabbath day, you don't need Jesus. If you could be saved by baptism, you don't need Jesus. If you could be saved by tongues, you don't need Jesus. Whatever, you could be saved by joining a church, you don't need Jesus. If you could be saved by keeping the sacraments, you don't need Jesus, and so on and so forth. If we could be saved any other way, then Christ died in vain. It is only by believing in him and receiving the work that he did upon the cross. And it is worth us keeping that pure. It is worth us understanding what is written enough to keep it pure. To say, you know what, I will never compromise in this area. I will never allow anyone to compromise in this area. And I will confront it wherever I find it. Because, again, all of Galatians, we're going to be told directly by the time we get to the end of this book, once you come to Christ, you don't need the law. We're told directly that. The whole book is written for this, that we would be of those who would defend the gospel, that we would have a heart to stand for that which is true. The church can go any other direction it wants to go. The church can say, as long as you're a moral person, and try to open up any other door for salvation. But we will hang on to the truth that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That means anybody, anyone who is in here, no matter what you've done, no matter who you've been, if you believe in him, you can be born again. You can have eternal life. And if by chance you're here, I want to give you that opportunity. But I also want to say for us, as we're studying the book of Galatians, to know we need to hang on to the truth of the gospel and not be shaken away from it at all in any direction. Stand with me, would you, and let's pray. Father, we want to thank you again. Your word is indeed so powerful, and we consider Paul as he deals with this topic, and he gives us this account of withstanding Peter to his face, correcting him because he was to blame. Because by his actions, he muddied the water. Lord, keep us from that we don't muddy the water by our actions. We want to live our lives for you with all sincerity and without hypocrisy. We don't want to pretend that we've become somebody or that it was something special in us that chose us to be saved by you. Lord, we know that it was all by your grace. We know it wasn't by works. It wasn't by legalism. It wasn't by how much we pray or by how much we read the Bible or by how much we witness. It was all by your grace. And because of your grace, then we want to pray and we want to read your Bible and we want to witness because we love you. Your gift of grace has been given in such an awesome way. And there are those that have turned and rejected your grace. We see Paul say here twice, I don't reject the grace. I don't reject the grace of God. We receive it. We don't reject it by making salvation some other thing, whatever that may be. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you would keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes, I'd like to give you an opportunity if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, to actually give your life to him, to say to him, I do believe in you. I do want my sins forgiven by the work that you did upon the cross. Maybe you think that because you go to church, you're okay. Maybe you go with somebody and you just kind of think, well, that's what Christians do is they go to church, and so going to church makes me okay. It doesn't. There will be many people who will go to hell who have been in church their entire lives because they have trusted in church rather than in God. It is not what you do that gets you into heaven. It's who you know. It's been said that heaven is like an expensive club. You only get in by who you know. That is Jesus Christ. You have to invite him in. You've got to open up yourself to him. And if you're here today and you don't want to give your life to him, you say, well, I really don't want to live for him. I like my life. I want to live for myself. Well, then Jesus won't force his way in. You don't have to become a Christian. But he holds out his hand. As he said in his scriptures, choose you this day whom you will serve. And then his encouragement, choose life and live. God says, it's up to you. You choose today who you will serve, but choose life and live. Choose living for him and receiving the love and the grace that he gives us upon the cross. So if you're here today, you want to invite Christ into your life, you're ready to live for him, you're ready for your sins to be forgiven, be crucified with Christ, and now live your life for him, then I'm going to ask you to do something simple, to lift up your hand. Lift up your hand now, if you would, please, and lift it up high. I want to see your hand, and I just want to acknowledge it. God bless you, ma'am, up in the balcony. That's awesome. God bless you, ma'am, underneath the mezzanine there. That's awesome. Anyone else? All right. Put your hands down, and I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands. I did see your hands up there, by the way. God bless you. I'd like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I have sinned, and I know my sin has separated me from you. But I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus upon the cross. So I invite you into my life, and I turn from my sin that I can live for you by the power of the resurrection. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen.
We hope you've been blessed, encouraged, and edified by what you've heard here on Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Chapel here in Tucson, Arizona. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson, and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast for Practical Christian Living. If this ministry has blessed you and you'd like to support it with your financial gift of any amount, please mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive, that's J-U-L-I-A-N, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. If you live in the Tucson area or you're ever visiting our community, We'd love for you to stop by one of our two campuses in East and Southwest Tucson. You can find service times online at calvarytucson.com. We'd love to have you visit for Bible study. Drop into our Solid Ground coffee shop and bookstore, or take a minute to look through our Mission Thrift Store located at our West Campus, which benefits our various missions projects. Have you accepted Jesus into your life or have questions about salvation? Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. That's S-A-V-E-D at calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. And we want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN9. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.